verses 10, 11, and 12 together. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye, being perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment, rest yet declared unto me, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? All right, in verse number 10, 10, 11, and 12, we read one too many. Pardon me. 10. What does beseech mean? Any hands on that? I beseech, Pastor Dan.
To implore, to beg, okay. Strongly encourage.
Strongly encourage, John?
Yep.
Important, see? He doesn't demand, but he beseeches. He urgently requests. Brethren. Now, who is referred to here as brethren in the Church of Corinth? Any hands on that? Who is referred to here in the church as brethren?
The born again
Christians. What?
Chapter 1, verse 10 of 1 Corinthians. Yes, genuine Christians. Refer to genuine Christians. Now, the way this is going to be written here soon doesn't sound like they're genuine Christians. Sound like they're worldly, lost people. But in verse 10...
Well, then, perhaps, then if that's the case, maybe they're just genetically brothers. Jewish
well,
brothers. No, not Christian brothers.
Well, that could be, but you're I think saying, in this case... it's
you're saying that they, if you've died in their salvation...
No, but I'm saying genuine Christians, sometimes they do doubt whether they're saved. The way they act, the way they talk, the way they, and various other things. The way they think. But, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus... Well, just a minute. I got to get this out, if I can get it up. I know I cut him off. Let's see here. Yes, hello, Paul. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's true, Paul. Thank you. Let's wave to Paul Augustine. Paul. He's there with his mother and for a few days.
Hi, Paul. Hi, Lane.
All right, now.
I'm Mr. Augustine.
Lane is there with him, but right. I think he is there. Now, the brethren, I think these are talking about believing Christians, genuine born-again Christians, brethren, by the name of Christ. What does he say and beseech them to do and to speak in this verse 10? And he has, yes, John?
To speak the same thing, talk the same doctrine. Right.
Is that hard or easy?
Hard.
It's hard. Now, should they have and believe the same doctrines if they're in a Bible-believing church?
Yes. It
should have the same doctrines, that's right. The Bible, the same Bible, they should use the same Bible. Even the people that are not genuine Christians, they have Bibles, and sometimes somebody reads them. And some that are genuine Christians have different Bibles. What are some of the different Bibles pastors are using today?
Well, of course, you have the NIV, the ASV, you know, all kinds of modifications, all kinds of...
Yeah.
Some people use the King James Bible. Some people, King James Bible.
Some do people do, that's right. Absolutely. Some
1769, I guess it is, I'm sorry.
The New King James, some are using, and various kinds of Bibles, but speak the same thing.
Tammy has...
Tammy, I'm sorry.
The Apostle Paul told the Philippians that they were to fulfill his joy, he being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind.
That's what he should be. That's right. Bill and then John.
There's another Bible that came out, or at least in part, the first five books. It's called the Rational Bible.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It's going to be in five volumes. Each of the five books of Moses in a separate Bible, or in a separate book, and it's going to be based on humanism, rationalism.
Rationalize the scriptures.
Yes.
Yes, Rabbi. I think, if I'm not mistaken, David Daniels, we're reading a book now in the King James Bible, defended by David Daniels. I think he says something like 60 different English versions, English Bibles, all kinds of them, maybe 70. I can't remember exactly what it is, but a huge number. But they have little changes here and changes there. Speak the same things. There be no divisions among you. Is that evil or easy or difficult in a local church? Any hands on that? They have no division.
It should be easy, but it's difficult.
It's difficult.
I was going to say that today in so many of the so-called modern churches, they use multiple translations,
mm-hmm.
so their doctrines are different. Church on left, not in the blind, just the one before that. mm-hmm. you know, about, you know, 14 years ago, they on purpose driven, and they use, you know, one, the leadership in there, some are Arminianists, others are Calvinists, others are, who knows what they are, mm-hmm. so you've got such a variety, there is no consistency in the doctrine.
Well, those that are churches that are solid in the King James Bible should be quite similar, almost similar, but no divisions. Probably refers to doctrinal divisions. And, you know, you can differ as to what color you want to have for your ties or what kind of color you want for your dresses, but biblical division.
They
I don't think
have,
it's, yes, huh?
They do have big divisions over the color of the carpet.
Well, that's true. But I don't believe that this is particularly indicated with this kind of division because all of us have different opinions on many, many things, see? But
right.
doctrine, I think. Yeah, Anna? Anna?
I think it seems rather stupid to have a disagreement about, in the color of the carpet. I mean, we want to have the doctrinal distinctions, but even some doctrinal things are a matter of personal conviction, and other things are a matter of a church doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And the things we should strive about are the things of church doctrine, and it's like it talks about in Romans and then in Corinthians about he that regardeth the day unto the Lord he regardeth, and he that regardeth not the day unto the Lord he doth not regard it. So we have to use wisdom and discernment and decide before we get into a big argument, we have to decide what category that thing falls into.
That's correct. Pastor Dan?
I'll wait for Rebecca.
Okay.
Good.
Anna put it in for me.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you, Debbie.
Rebecca, hi. Hi. Welcome.
Hi, yes, Dr. Lee. This is Rebecca Howell from South Carolina.
Yes.
Calling in to say hello to everybody and just provide comment about verse 10 that we're covering. And it's such a critical, important scripture. As a Jehovah's Witness, when I was in my, probably like in my 20s pretty much, I met my husband, David Howell, and he was Independent Baptist and saved, and I was, you know, lost. And, but it was so overwhelming to traverse the landscape of denominations. And I feel that this scripture really speaks to the fact that there should be no denominations. So, you know, you've got, you know, Catholic Light and, you know, Catholicism and Presbyterian and all the different denominations divided along doctrine. And as a lost person, and the Lord was drawing me, but it was just very overwhelming, and it's an uphill battle. And Satan has made it such an uphill battle for lost people to know Jesus' truth because of all the denominations, and it's work and it's study to be able to distinguish and differentiate between all the different idiosyncrasies of the denominations and their beliefs. So I just wanted to offer that up as someone who did not grow up in a Christian home and someone, of course, lost, and then having to do the study and put the time in and ask, you know, once I was saved, you know, ask the Lord for help. But the King James Bible and God's Word is, you know, critical there because you base your faith in His Word. And so having His Word is so vitally critical, and having to do the study to know for yourself, you know, I had to know for myself that the King James Bible is God's Word in English, not just going off of what David believed, but I had to know it for myself. So I just wanted to offer up that scripture, just the comment, because even with students, when I, you know, teaching and talking to my students, that they are so overwhelmed with wanting to know truth, but yet all of these divisions have created discouragement and just giving up. So thank you so much. Sorry, I was a little long-winded.
Very good. Thank you for your long-windedness. Anytime, Rebecca. Thank you. God bless. Let's wave to her and to David as well. Amen. Interesting. Saved from Jehovah's Witnesses. Amazing, amazing. And that's true. It'd be great if you didn't have denominations, just the Bible, and study the Bible for what it is. Yes, Anna.
And it's sad because it's sometimes we have to separate from other believers because of the doctrinal difference is so profound. In it. But then it's just really sad because, like, really, we want all to be in agreement, but we won't have perfect and, like, complete unity until, like, heaven, I suppose, when, like, then we'll know where we were wrong and where mm-hmm. we were right and mm-hmm. so forth and so on. So.
That's true. Yeah. Tammy?
Kind of piggybacking on what yes. both Anna and Rebecca said, mm-hmm. and also my own thoughts from before, we were talking about church doctrine. Well, some churches don't have very good doctrine.
That's right.
And you can't rely on church doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
You have to rely on the scriptures.
That's right.
And even the best churches may have something wrong with their church doctrine in one mm-hmm. point. I mean, mm-hmm. or church practice or whatever. So we have to just mm-hmm. be faithful to obeying and following the word of God.
Yes,
and
that's
having
it.
That one mind.
Yes, Pastor Nan?
Add to what Tammy was saying, the doctrinal system may have a flaw or two in it, but the problem is few people that are part of the church know what the doctrine is.
Mm-hmm. So it's good that we base it on the Bible. For instance, our church, the Bible Free Baptist Church, we have a doctrinal statement quite complete in many, many areas. And that's what we should have, biblical areas, biblical doctrines that stand straight with the Bible, not with anything else, what are man teachings or whatever. And so it's interesting indeed. So we're glad that she has given her testimony, Rebecca, and we're glad that Anna put it in my phone so I know exactly who it is, not just that she's talking, calling during Bible study. No, it's important that every Christian, every believer, like in verse number 10, brethren, speak the same thing, be this no division among you, especially division in regard to the Bible, division of other, whether you have a little car, a big car, you know, red coat, left, white coat, whatever color that we have personally, no division, doctrinal division mentioned there, be perfectly joined together in the same mind and same judgment. What would that be, same mind and same judgment? Any hands on that? What would be involved in same mind and same judgment?
Well,
Tammy and then John.
The mind of Christ, which comes from
mind
the scriptures.
Of Christ from the right. scriptures, John.
Right, the mind of Christ and, mm-hmm. and the judgment is the Lord's.
Yes.
We base it on the scriptures.
Right. It's obvious that all of us can't think the same thing and agree the same thing in everything. But as much as possible, we should agree with what the Bible teaches, and that's why we ask questions. What do you think this means? Well, it may be different meanings, but if we stick with the scripture and the words, we're trying to understand it, even though we're human and do not able to understand everything. Questions at bftpc.org or 856-261-9018. Good to hear from you and continue to call. Same mind. Oh, I'm sorry, John.
There was a time, go back. There was a time when most of your major denominations believed basically the same thing. They stuck on the fundamentals of faith. Mm-hmm. But over time, they've split apart and have gone away. Many have gone away from the fundamentals, deny those fundamentals of the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have today, I don't believe in denominationalism myself.
Mm-hmm.
Opposed to it, but we should, I don't have a problem. We may worship slightly differently, but if our doctrine should be in accordance with one another,
mm-hmm.
In Christ, but it's not.
Now, do all the denominations that are basically apostate have apostasy written into their doctrinal statements? Any answer, Pastor Dan?
Well, Tammy was answering your question.
Yes.
What she said? Tammy was answering,
right.
I can add to it.
Add to it? Anyone else want to add?
No, I want to add to what Tammy said.
Go ahead, add.
But I want to make sure you have Tammy's answer.
Oh, yeah, I got her answer. Okay. Now, you add.
Tammy, for those that didn't get it, she says, she nodded her head this way, left and right, not up and down, but left and right, and she says, no. The problem is, this is just titled, as we know, some of the mainline denominations, their doctrinal statement is relatively pure within the confines of the denomination.
Mm-hmm.
However, they've abandoned their own doctrinal statement.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And their practice looks nothing what is written.
Exactly.
Now, that's not only true in the apostate or modernistic churches and denominations. It's also true in churches that are have been historically fundamental, in churches that have left the mainline churches, mm-hmm. it's becoming that way as well. They're yes. ignorant of their own doctrinal statement.
Exactly.
And they've abandoned their service standards, basically.
John, and other things. Many of them have altered their doctrinal statement. It's not so much that what's in their doctrinal statement might not be wrong, but it's what they leave out.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, even like we talked about the Methodist Church, if you look at the Apostles' Creed, the Methodist Church, they have a certain status. Pastor Mann said that even fundamental churches, they no longer hold to what they've written down. Why is that, do you think? Glad to have visiting with us for the first time by himself. Am I right there?
No, he's been here before.
But by himself. See, he usually comes with faith in heaven, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Or having had heaven and faith come with him.
Well, that could be that way.
Okay. Here he is by himself, so we're glad to welcome him. Appreciate that. And it's hard for me to remember his name, but...
Ryan.
I'm sorry, Ryan.
Ryan.
Oh, I get it once in a while. I get that. Brian.
Not at the beginning of the day.
Beginning.
All right. So...
John brings up a good point about what's missing sometimes. Mm-hmm. The missing note, the missing forms of doctrine. But that's one aspect of it. But sometimes even what is still there is denied and not practiced.
That's exactly right. As Pastor Nance said, even some fundamental churches, and it's a sad thing that pastors that are trying out to be a pastor of a certain local church, sometimes they lie through their teeth. They believe our doctrines. Oh, everything's fine. When he comes here, he believes some, but not all the doctrines of the church. It's a terrible situation.
It's a case example of a mainline denominational church, the United Methodist Church, which was just united back in the 60s, with the three different denominations united together back in the 1968, whatever year that was. They united. Mm-hmm. They're having a division among themselves now. They call them the pure church or the open church, whatever. Open. They want to take the purest view or the open view. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure how you can, but nonetheless, it's not necessarily the United States branch of the United Methodist is in favor of having the corrupt view. Mm-hmm. It's only the reason why this resolution wasn't passed was because everyone in other continents that came.
Yeah.
The cause and the fact to have having a strict view mm-hmm. of their doctrine rather than a loose view, mm-hmm. and so the loose view is going to open up. Some are predicting a split in the United Methodist. How can that be possible? The United Methodists are splitting because they're not united.
Right.
They can't stay united because they don't agree on biblical principle. I mean, they're off in so many other they've abandoned so many other things. But yet they want to make sure that their interpretation of Romans chapter 1 is pure and accurate. They want to make sure the qualifications of a pastor are pure and accurate, mm-hmm. at least some of them. But they're divided. I mean, but the majority of the people, the majority of the representatives or the messengers, whatever they're called, in their convention that they have every year, they want to maintain a pure view. Although it's not a large majority, but yet it's a small majority, but yet... The people that want it their way, the way that it's going to twist the scripture, pervert the scripture, they're talking about leaving the group.
Yes.
And the same may continue with Jimmy Carter and the Southern Baptists. The Southern Baptists are now too conservative for him, and he wants, well, not that he wants, I think he's already has abandoned it, not to just pick on the 39th president, but many people that are in agreement with him have left the Southern Baptists. Not that we are in a great agreement with them. There's some agreement we see there, but we know there's compromise with them, but it's not compromising enough for number 39 and other people that have followed him, because it's the fact of same thing, going back to Romans chapter 1 and the qualifications for a pastor, but as far as particularly whether or not women should be ordained to the ministry. So both these groups, the United Methodists, Southern Baptists, and I'm sure there's examples other places too. I mean, either even ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, there are people that are disappointed in the fact that the old timers even though at the very beginning they were very liberal, far more liberal than the Missouri Synod, they were very disappointed in the fact of the ordination of women. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with the Romans chapter 1 issue.
Mm-hmm. I read that article about the United Methodists. A lot of them want to be solid and so on, but other people, it was against them, especially those who are not in the United States. Yes, Bill.
This subject of humanism is what's driving all of this, mm-hmm. all of these divisions that are happening within the different churches now. It's my own personal view, and I intend to get at least one copy of one of those books on the Rational Bible to look at it, because I'm curious to understand what it is that causes people to think that how they can interpret is absolutely right. When I read the Bible, I try to think in terms of, well, I have to learn, and that's why I'm reading the Bible. And it may disagree with my point of view, but that's the way I have to go with what the Bible says mm-hmm. on that. That's what's important. These other people, they don't want to give up their own humanistic views. Mm-hmm. It's such a pleasure to come here and hear Scripture taught this way.
Yes, no division, scriptural and biblical. Yes,
I just thought we talked about the United Methodist, we talked about the Southern Baptist, the ELCA, also the GRBC, yep. Sadly, has been slipping. I mean, they haven't slipped, perhaps there's factions of it have slipped further to the left, but they're slipping away from the foundational yeah. principles of their doctrine.
Exactly.
Particularly the doctrine of separation,
right.
The doctrine of purity. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're permitting things of they're moving far to the left and taking on the appearance of new evangelicalism, something they were strongly opposed to.
Right.
The reason why they left the NBC back in 1932.
That's right. And that's, I was with the General Association of Regional Baptist Churches as a naval chaplain. But since these things have all happened, I washed my hands of the GRBC. When the leaders were encouraging, some of the leaders in the Council of 18, 14, whatever it was, to go into some compromise situations, it's a sad thing, and there's no end to it. There's no end to it. We've got to be very careful. And this command and beseeching of no division, scriptural division, about the Bible and the issues of the Bible, but perfectly tied together. And that's perfect. That's in verse 10.
If we go back to 1990,
First Corinthians 1:10.
Going back to 1990 with IBFNA, they wanted to provide dual affiliation. Here they want us to make themselves separated, but yet they want to have a dual affiliation mm-hmm. with the GRBC and perhaps anybody else for that matter.
Yes.
They weren't specific in the fact of who they can affiliate with.
Right.
I mean, but by principle they were talking about the GRBC.
Right.
But in practice, it could have been any Baptist group
right.
that someone could have come in and had a dual affiliation with, be riding both horses of the GRBC group and riding this other horse. And without having even a sunset clause in the whole thing.
That's why we should be independent, as this church is. We don't affiliate with anybody, officially. GRB is concerned about separate and independent churches.
Amen.
Yes, David Howell from South Carolina. Hi, David.
Hi, Pastor Wade, everyone, brothers and sisters there. I was listening to what Brother Dan was saying about the differences doctrinal. And there are many, and that's why we have so many different sects of Christianity, I guess you could say. And that's unfortunate because we're not all following the Bible. And that's a major problem with the doctrines of the Bible, because what Dan said, you know, they're not reading the Bible, they're not studying the doctrines of Christ. And so when it comes to the doctrines of the church, oh, it looks good on paper. But the doctrine of the church is really, let's follow what the pastor said. Let's do what the preacher said. And that's not a doctrine that you can find in the Bible. Matter of fact, Paul warns us against that. That these pastors are going to want themselves to be preeminent. They want to hold the preeminent position. Yes. And it's not Christ who is the head of the church. It's the pastors. And it's not all of them. Many pastors want Christ to lead the church and want to help the brothers and sisters. But when the church is following the pastor, and the pastor is formulating his own doctrine for the church to follow, that is no different, absolutely zero difference between that church and the Catholic Church. Because at edict, that pastor can disavow the doctrine that is already on paper for the church to follow, which is according to gospel. And he changes that to what he wants, to what he thinks the church ought to do. We can throw out the King James and we can bring in all these other, but that's not scriptural. God's word. As you, I was watching a clip of you speaking to a group of pastors talking about the Bible. If we don't have God's word, and we don't believe we have God's word, then what are we doing?
Yes.
We might as well just go ahead and just live till we die, and let that be the end of it. But we do have God's word that gives us something to live by, because, and I'm sorry I'm going on, but God revealed himself to us. How blessed is that? That he would say, listen, this is me. This will make me happy. This will glorify me. This is how you can please me. And we disavow that and run along with some man and what he thinks we ought to do. How is that not abominable to the very doctrine which he gives us in his word? You know, I love the Bible, and I love reading the Bible, because it helps me know him. Mm-hmm. And we all do that, which, like Brother Daniel said, we don't. So when the creepy man comes in, so does the apostate doctrine. And when I have an example that I'm just giving you a short example, we went to one church where the pastor, the new pastor, he just been voted in to this church. And the church, of course, they had their doctrine, and he agreed to it. The constitution of the church, he agreed to it, and then turn around, we're thinking of becoming members of this church, this was about a year ago, and we sat down and called to this, and we said, hey, what about this? In the constitution, you say this, in the constitution, this is what's said. What do you think about that? And he said, well, I don't really agree with that, and I'm going to have that changed as soon as I get in the votes to overturn. Well, then you lied about how you agree with the constitution to become the pastor of this church.
Right.
That's deception, and that is not. That's not what God wants. So, anyway, I love you guys, and I'm praying for you guys. Stick with the Bible, stick with the truth, as you always have.
Thank you very much, Dave. Let's wave to Gabriel Howell and his wife, Rebecca, right there in South Carolina. Appreciate that very much. So keep calling us. Rebecca and David always appreciate your calls. And we stand as you stand. We want to be biblical through and through. And we despise these pastors. I had one in my own church when I left back in Faith Baptist in Newton, Massachusetts. We've said this many times before, but when this new man came in, we tape recorded him and his answers. Do you believe this? Oh, everything's fine. We left and changed the whole thing. In fact, he wanted to break that church and combine it with some other church, and it's a horrible thing. I'm glad that he came to see me and didn't say anything while I was there. I heard about it, but didn't say anything. He came to see me in my house, and I let him have it. Why did you agree with this when I was there and this recorded, and now you don't agree with it? That's wrong. You should get out of there. He went back and got out of there. I just say, don't interfere with the church, but if he comes to see me, it's fair ground. Pastor Dan.
A few years ago, Tammy, Nana, and I were involved in a local church that seemed to want to discourage its people from knowing the doctrine of the church. And when we were innocently trying to teach doctrine, I mean, this is just simple doctrine. Mm-hmm. I mean, basic doctrine of the church. that it seemed like it was almost criminal to let the people of the church understand what the church believed and what the church taught. Because maybe some of the people in the group in the Sunday school class, they may have not believed that or thought that at the time, but they needed to be convinced that and been steered in that direction, or they understand that if this doctrine is going to cause you to go away, then go away.
Yes.
No. And that's it. Doctrine will divide. Now, there are imperfections in the doctrinal statement. In all doctrinal statements, right. There are imperfections. Mm-hmm. But you have to start someplace. You have to stand on what the doctrine is, and it's the people that have to change. If you can convince, if the scripture is convincing enough to change the doctrinal statement, you change it. That's the only time you change it or add to it and expand the doctrinal statement.
Mm-hmm. That's why when the Lord causes me to drop the pastorate of this church, Bible Free Baptist Church, that's why I would personally like to see our son, Pastor Daniel Waite, to take over as a pastor. I can't force anybody to do what he doesn't want to do, so I can't say it, but that he's got the doctrine that his dad has, separated, fundamental, knows Greek, Hebrew, and will maintain our doctrines. Trouble is, when pastors leave, the guy that takes over drops this and drops this and changes. I'd rather have this church close its doors completely than have somebody other than my son, Daniel. I've got two other sons that still living. They don't have the doctrines that their dad has. They have some of them, but not all of them. They don't know what it is or what. So anyway,
Tammy,
I'm sorry.
I was a little befuddled when he started this story because I was thinking Anna, but I think Anna was.
She was there. She
very,
involved.
Very, very small.
She knew her stuff.
She was small.
She may have been hidden.
Okay, well, I was confused.
Anyway,
I was thinking more music.
And so the thing about it was that the pastor had initially suggested teaching the doctrinal statement. And so that's what Pastor Dan was doing. But.
Teach the doctrine.
He got upset because the people, once they heard the doctrine, yes, they didn't like it.
Oh my!
Wait. Yeah, I've seen three pastors come into the church and lie to them about their stand.
Sad.
They're wiki-watchy.
Sad.
And when you take a stand on a doctrine, they start calling you legalists.
Horrible.
You know, because they want it so loose,
yes,
so they can bring in as many people as they can and build up their own little kingdom.
Yes. Bill.
Yeah, I think we've been watching politicians for a long time.
Yes.
Their campaign speeches on television, what they write about. And we are so used to the lies and the misleading,
yes,
that they've been doing that we're not really bothered by it.
Yes.
And it's part of the way that our society functions this way.
Mm-hmm.
However, when it comes to faith, there's no room for that, and we must have a reliable pastor, and we must have clear and obvious doctrine that we can always turn to for that. You know, we can accept the politics as it is. We know it's corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
It's full of lies. Can't,
right,
depend on anything. The only thing politically that we can trust in is that one day Jesus Christ will return and he will establish a 1,000-year reign here on earth that will be just.
Yes.
And that's what we can look forward to.
That's right. Amen. So these are very important matters, very important things. Speaking about leaders lying, I sent out to my email list about a week ago 10 major, huge lies by President Donald Trump. That's horrendous. If you haven't seen it, let me know and I'll send it to you. He lies 10 big, these are major times. And so pastors sometimes lie, presidents lie, congressmen lie, senators lie, representatives. We got to be unified on what truth is and stand by it, even if we're castigated for it.
Mm-hmm.
And many times we are castigated for telling the truth.
Yep.
Anna.
The verse, let God be true and every man a liar.
Yep.
Very good truth. Very good truth.
And the way, the truth, and the life.
Way, the truth, and the life. Amen. That's a good verse. All right, so that's along verse 10. That's wonderful. That's why I want to continue it this week, because we touched on it last week. want to get into it. Same thing. All right, then in verse 11, it's been declared. What did Paul learn from the house of Chloe? We don't know who the house of Chloe is. What did he learn, Pastor Dan?
There were divisions.
Divisions.
Yeah. It's was four different divisions.
You suppose he was happy about those divisions? Was Paul was happy?
No.
But is it good to know if there's a truth event, to know ahead of time, Vaughn and Anna?
Does the house of Chloe mean the church in your house?
I think it's...
It's different. This is the literal house of Chloe.
Like a household. Chloe's like a household. People.
Household.
Wait a second.
Chloe was someone that went to the church. The household of Chloe.
Where is her name? It's possible. It may have been a he.
Verse 11.
Verse 11. Your observation could be correct. We usually think of it as a household, but maybe her observation about it being a house, the church,
the
Greek a house
would,
in Chloe's house.
Greek would tell whether it's a masculine or feminine, but I don't have the Greek with it, so I don't know whether it's a man or female.
Oh, in the name,
it would tell.
You mean?
In the name, Chloe.
Oh, how would you tell?
Well, it would be feminine and masculine.
What's
the
feminine ending?
Well, feminine starts with an Ada, and masculine with an
os.
With an Ada.
And versus os?
Yes, it's there with os. So for instance, Theos is masculine because it's God, it's one, and grace, but Chloe
okay.
would tell what the Greek ending would be. Sometimes it would be I-A, Ia, Ia.
It would depend on the part,
so,
the declension, which...
That's true.
Yeah, first, second, or third declension, that's true.
And then
it could be Ia, it could be A.
The object or subject, objective, subjective.
Yes.
Genitive, dative.
But the Theos of Chloe would be a genitive feminine.
Yes.
Or masculine.
Yes, you're right.
All right. Declared. What was declared by the house? Paul. What was declared?
There are contentions among them.
Is that a good thing to know about or a bad thing to know about by Paul?
What verse is that?
Verse 11. Is that good or bad?
It's good for him to know about it.
Why is it good for Paul to know that there are divisions among you?
Yeah.
Anna, go ahead, Anna.
Oh, I was going to say that I didn't think that the church, it would be referring to the church in the house of Chloe, because it would say, declared unto me of you by them of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. So it seems,
Okay, what is the
Tammy
Greek?
Just
it's
looked
an
it up.
Ada.
What is
no,
it?
It's an Ada, so it's a she.
Okay, it's a she. Anna, anything else?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry for
I'm somewhat tired and not explaining my thoughts completely.
Well, that's an honest admission. Yes.
So your question was, why is it?
Why is it his report? Yeah.
You know,
tell me why.
That way Paul would know what they need. He would know
exactly.
He correct the errors.
That's right. Now, are there always church splits in every church in the world? Are there always church splits?
Divisions.
Division. Yeah.
Divisions.
Or there's a split sometimes leaving each other.
There may not be a split.
Well, do you know of any church in the world that's never had someone leave it, split away from it,
one
for various reasons?
Or a couple, but not where the whole church divided in half.
No, I don't mean, anyone splitting off from it, see, because they don't agree with it. Now, are those kinds of church splits good or bad, or sometimes good, sometimes bad? Pastor Dan first.
Yes.
Observation from Elroy. Not from Elroy?
Wisconsin?
No, from Portage.
From Portage.
When? Not Wendy, but...
Yes, it is Wendy.
When I was a new believer...
Wendy Barbier, okay.
Thank you for clarifying the city. Portage. When I was a new believer in Christ, I attended... what did she attend? I attended in the nearest church in walking distance, which was Methodist, with the lady pastor. I recall the uneasy feeling I had seen the men.
I had seen the men sitting behind her. I'm very thankful the Lord quickly opened my eyes to the truth in His Word. Thank you for the study and teaching us to stand steadfastly.
Let's wave to Wendy Barbian. Thank you, Wendy. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Appreciate that very much, and that's so true, isn't it? So what was that question you were asking before the call? Is it good or bad?
You were talking about contentions.
Oh, yeah.
Or divisions.
Yeah. In other words, then I asked the question, are some that split off from a local church by the splitting them off, is that good, is it bad, or sometimes good, sometimes bad, and explain yourself. If people leave the church, yeah.
Well, if they're leaving something bad, like in the case of Wendy, when mm-hmm. she left that Methodist yes. church, that was good.
Good for her.
It was good. It was good for them if they would have understood why
if
she
left.
Understood
why, that's true. Is it ever bad? But Bill.
Now, in the example that she just gave,
Wendy Berman.
Yeah, uh-huh. That was good for the body of Christ too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's yes. good. So. Contentions among you. Yes. Sometimes the contentions are biblical, other times they're not biblical. Pastor Dan and John.
If someone's leaving a Bible-believing church, in this case, clearly it's apostate.
Mm-hmm.
So you have
right.
got, she did the right thing by leaving.
Yes.
And sometimes it takes some people longer to leave than other people. But
right.
nonetheless, the idea is that once the apostasy is revealed to them, after over the course of a certain amount of time, they will leave.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if in the instance of someone leaving suppose the church is a Bible-believing, soundly Bible-believing church that believes and practices doctrinal statements, doctrinal statements based upon the words of God, and there's no clear problems with the doctrinal statement or the practice of the church, mm-hmm. and someone leaves it because they don't agree with it,
yeah.
well, then I'm not really sure if we want someone that's
right.
in disagreement either.
Good. Let them go. They don't agree with the doctrines of scriptures in the Bible.
Get
them out of
there. We'd like to win them over and convince them
yes.
of the truth of the scripture.
Yes.
But if for some reason they can't stand in the position mm-hmm. of the doctrinal statement, the practice of the church, then maybe they should go rather than causing other people
right.
to just join them in their disagreement.
Right. Anna.
Well, and then sometimes you may have a case where everyone in question agrees with the doctrinal statement, but for some other reason it doesn't work out for them to stay at that particular church. If you have like three different churches that all have the same doctrine, and everybody, if this is mostly hypothetical, right? If you have three churches with good sound doctrine, and a person is going to different churches, and they agree with the doctrine of all three churches, but then they still have to make a decision about which church to attend,
mm-hmm.
and or they might change it. If they move, that could be another reason for leaving a church, or if, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if there's a church that stands and is a fundamental church, but in practice there's things that are wrong, and they don't want to listen to your concerns,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
then if, you know, they just refuse to begin care what you have to say, then,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can leave.
Right.
I think God would want you to leave.
Right. Does our church listen to the people in the church and want to hear what they have to say? Does our church have people express their opinions?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no? Pastor Dan.
Sometimes you have the leadership of a particular church that wants to push a particular pastor away for no doctrinal reason.
Right.
And so in instances like that, the church has a specific written doctrinal statement that the church people agree with, the leaders agree with, the pastor agrees with, but for some reason, more perhaps personality reason or some other reason,
mm-hmm.
they want to encourage that pastor to leave perhaps before the Lord wants them to leave.
Right.
In which cases, that causes people to take sides, or want to take sides.
Mm-hmm.
They, like in Anna's example, you have three churches that believe pretty much equally the same doctrine,
mm-hmm.
but they're just three different locations.
Right.
When you have a church that's almost forced to split because of the politics that's within the church,
mm-hmm.
and the pastor is pushed
right.
out,
right.
Not on doctrinal differences, not on moral grounds, but just for just personality reasons,
mm-hmm.
then that can create people to take sides.
Right.
And that's when you have an unnatural,
yes.
unnatural people, and it's an unnatural division.
And if he's a Bible-believing man, a lot of these Bible-believing Christians leave that stupid church and go with a man who's Bible-believing. That's true. Yes, Tammy.
And when he was saying, I was thinking of something else, and then it became clear what he was saying, but Sometimes if you come into a church and you have a reputation as being someone who's strong for the Word of God and maybe not necessarily willing to surrender your thoughts for, you know, someone else's because they're based on the Scriptures, then sometimes you can come to that church and before long some people visit you and tell you it's time for you to leave the church, and you haven't even hardly been there.
Yeah.
You know.
That's right. We have an example of that, my wife and I. We were members of a church right here in Cherry Hill. Bible, see, what is the name? Cherry Hill. What is the name? Cherry Hill. Bethel Baptist Church.
Bethel Worship Center now.
That's right. See, there's no Baptist, there's no church. But we were there, and the pastor was Pastor Elgina. Wonderful pastor, faithful pastor, Carl Elgina. He preached there, we were listening to him with the Word of God. And then, as he left, he told us pretty well, the deacons have asked him to leave. I mean, he really set forth the reason why he went there. He said, be careful, watch out. And that's right, they pushed the man out. And now look at him, as Tammy said. It's no longer Bethel Baptist Church. It's Bethel, but there's no Baptist, there's no church. What is it again?
Bethel Worship Center.
I have never been there. I'm sure it's grown to pot.
Very generic. Yeah,
go ahead, John, and then tell me.
Your initial question was, for this church, yes. I was for today about this church. Does it listen to the people or not? Now, yes, because we have question and answers, but
yes.
The question is, do you listen to what the people say and change your doctrine because of what they say? And I don't believe the leadership should do that. No,
unless it's sound doctrine, and we're preaching false doctrine,
right.
We ought to change.
Right.
But we understand the situation. Paul, Jillian, Paul, something. Can't think of the pastor there, Beth. But Paul, is that name?
What are you saying?
What's Paul, the pastor, Bethel Baptist, where are they from?
Elgina.
Paul, okay.
But his name wasn't Paul.
No, it was Carl. Carl Elgina.
Yeah.
Now, we witnessed a situation, my wife and I.
Rebecca Howell.
Oh, good. Rebecca again. Let's just remind me of what my question was.
We'll make sure you do
it. Hi, Rebecca. Good to hear from you again. What you got?
Yes, Pastor Wayne. Just wanted to add to the conversation because the church that my husband and I had left, and we were there for about 5 years and, actively serving in the church, it was not just, doctrine is, of course, a preeminent importance, but it's the practice of it. So you can have a policy on the wall all day long, but, the degree to which you're adhering to and living out that policy is a totally different issue. And for us, it was sins of omission and sins of commission. And the omission is the doctrinal statements of faith, pretty much, on par, pretty much, of course, like Pastor Dan said, there's some imperfections, but pretty much on par. But the separation statement, is the boilerplate language that most independent Baptist churches use. And
much. Reckless wave to Rebecca Howell again. Appreciate that very much. Her husband, David Howell, keep giving us comments. We appreciate that very much. Now, the question I'd asked earlier, and John answered, oh, pardon me, Pastor Dan.
Tammy wasn't able to finish. Oh,
I'm sorry, Tammy, go ahead.
I wasn't able to start.
Oh, go ahead.
So,
I forgot.
I was thinking of a specific example as well, because when we came to New Jersey, when Pastor Dan came to help with the Bible for today, mm-hmm. we went to a church, and there was one individual that specifically asked for some Halloween tracts and... Do you remember what the other thing was? Mm-hmm. Something else from the Bible for today. And they were excited and they supported with the Bible for today. And somebody else, who happened to be one of the elders, I don't know if he was an elder or deacon, but he acted like an elder.
Yeah.
And he was very upset about the whole situation. And he, essentially, he came and told my husband not to come back.
So, this church.
Yeah, and we were getting friendly with the people there.
Because we exposed Halloween.
They didn't like the Bible for Today, or he didn't like the Bible for Today ministry. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think there was something else too. Mm-hmm. Maybe he didn't use the King James Bible. Mm-hmm. So there were different issues, and once the truth was brought to them, then, you know, this group was antagonistic against that group, mm-hmm. where before, you know, that group that was standing on the truth was just quiet, mm-hmm. but now they had something to say, and so these people were getting, anyway.
Yes, interesting. Good job.
Since a couple times this thing with Halloween was brought up, and as Rebecca said, a pseudo-celebration of Halloween.
Yeah.
Give you a good example of that. Church of Christ are not the only ones. There are other churches that are doing it, but I know it's very prevalent with them, is they do what they call trunk or treat. They say the same thing. They get their cars, they park in the parking lot of their church, the kids dress up in their costumes, just like they do it, in the rest of the world, and they go from one car to the other and get their candy. So what is the difference?
Yes, what's the difference?
There is no form of separation there.
Right. Let me tell you a story. In Newton, Massachusetts, I was pastor there for maybe 4 or 5 months, and they kicked me out, but there's a lady there that was there when we were there. And she was there, and we preached the word, so forth. Well, after we left, she stayed. And that church took another pastor, and then another one fought. And pretty soon, they just stopped calling themselves Emmanuel Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. And now they gave that whole thing over to another denomination.
I think Greek Orthodox?
Greek Orthodox, I think it was, Greek Orthodox. And that lady was still there. We were in Newton, Massachusetts one time. We just want to stop by at the old church we used to go to and be pastor. There she was, hello. And now it's changed over, and they sell regular goods, and just things that you buy in a regular store. And she's still there in the apostasy of that other church. She didn't care.
She wouldn't leave the church building.
They wouldn't leave the church building.
Because
that's right.
Her mother was buried there. Yeah. She was married there. Her father was buried
there. So she had it. Anyway, it's one thing to stay, even though it changed into Bible believing to apostasy, but it's such a leaving such thing. She really had some beliefs. John.
Yes. I have an example of that church I started at many years ago when I was like 5 years old, 5, 6, 7 years old.
Yeah.
And over the years, I saw different pastors come in. And shamefully, as things changed, many sitting in the pews would stay. Until ultimately, the church turned purpose-driven and I was out the door. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had enough. Can't take no more. But some of the older members, older than myself, mm-hmm. Those that would have taught me when I was younger and taught me good,
mm-hmm.
but they were staying and weren't changing. They were changing with the church instead of recognizing it. And that is part of the problem with that is happening in the pews because the pastors are not speaking God's word the way
yes.
it is and letting them know, informing them.
Yeah.
They're not studying the word themselves even properly, or else they would say it.
Mom.
O'Hanian.
Mrs. O'Hanian, that's right. She remembers the name. Mrs. O'Hanian had black hair.
She stayed with that church forever.
Yes, she does.
She probably got buried in the yard.
Yeah. Now, remember, I asked a question a long time ago, and John answered part of it. Does this church let people who attend the church to speak up and to talk? And how?
speak up? Is it tough?
Discussion.
Does this church
inform the discussion? Yes.
No, the church.
You mean
does let the people that are here speak? Or are all the people that attend the church completely silent at all times? Does the church permit them to speak? And how? And why? No answer. Speechless.
I would say yes, you permit them to speak. They don't speak from the pulpit, they speak from the pews, and they're able to bounce ideas back across and then learn. We can edify. We're able to sharpen one another, as the word says.
Yes, right. Yvonne? And then Anna.
Sometimes people aren't allowed to speak and speak their mind.
And can you speak your mind in Sunday service or Sunday afternoon Bible study?
Not during Bible study.
And how about Sunday afternoon Bible study? Are they able to speak their mind?
Sometimes you can speak out in Bible study, I guess.
That's right, Bible study.
I forgot more about
and can pe- can people speak out in the internet, in our church ministry? Yeah, we can.
I don't know. I don't look
at it. Now, do we always have to agree with the people who speak out?
Nope.
No. But their freedom of speech is... Anna?
Well, sometimes if the people disagree with the doctrinal statement and they become particularly aggressive in the manner in which they're disagreeing, it becomes disruptive to the class.
Yes.
Yep.
And so we request them to remain silent. But sometimes we don't remain silent, so we have to ask them to leave and not return.
Was there any illustration of that in a year or two ago gone by in our church?
Yes.
What was the issue?
Two different people.
Okay, refresh me. I just remember one. Then,
well, one person was saved and one was lost.
Okay. And
which one do you want?
Either one. Both of them. Remind me, because I just remember the one that I think is lost. But
there was three people.
Oh, three people. So I got a small memory of people leaving the church.
Going back before the previous two.
Okay.
They tend to lean towards Calvinism.
Oh.
Heavily towards Calvinism.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
You know. I mean, they said good thoughts. They knew the Bible very well.
Right.
But in the doctrine of Calvinism, they were too verbal about it and too confrontational and argumentative.
Yeah, argumentative. That's good. Now, the other two, I don't remember. I remember one.
The one was talking about the God, Matthias, and how he was the apostle. And Peter, and you can't use the Gospel of John to preach to people to have them be saved.
Only
the Pauline epistle.
Well, that's good.
Which is ironic in a certain sense because that same person believed that Matthias, not Paul, was the...
Just outside the Pauline
epistle. Good. There was one other. Who's the other? Refresh my memory on that.
The other person...
About the impeccability of going to Tanner.
Good.
No, you're fine.
Believed in the law of the land.
Oh, over the Bible.
Yes.
Yes, I remember him. He used to sit on that side.
St. John's seat.
No, well, John.
Watch out, John.
is this the one that the police were here to take him out?
Yes, that's the one. That's the one.
I wasn't here that week, but I heard a lot about it.
Because I said, because your doctrine, you're causing disruption and so on, you don't believe what the Bible says about the Scripture. He said, I don't care. You can't keep me out of this church. I'm coming back. So I called the police immediately. He said, this man's going to come. We don't want him. As soon as he put in there, called right there, went around the room, called there. They came right there. They said, what's the man? Go into that room. They went into the dining room. And they talked to him. You can't come back. I can go back. He argued back about 5 minutes.
And we found out later that he was telling people about the church and laughing at us behind our back.
Yeah, I guess that's right, too. So when I called the police, I said, the man that we didn't want to hear anymore because of such and such, he's back. He knocked on the door a second time, or whatever, the next week, and came in there and called him into the room again. You can't be here. He argued with us for about 5 to 10 minutes, and finally the policeman told me, there are two policemen. They had two witnesses. And finally, the policeman told me later, after I wouldn't let him in, he called me up and said, we told that man, if he comes back into that church again, we're coming for him and we're going to arrest him, put him in jail. Interesting. Because this is not normal, it's a house. It's a house church, but I mean, we have restrictions.
It's all private property.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go on. Almost ready to stop, I guess. But still on verse 11. What's that?
That'd be okay if you're ready to stop.
Okay, I'm always ready to stop. I'm all ready to start.
See, we could keep on going for a couple hours and knock you out of verse 11 again.
The tape is almost to go off, but it's still going, so we may have a few more minutes. We're in verse 11, House of Chloe, contention. Some think contentions are good because it brings things out, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Not that we always agree with the contenders, but sometimes it brings out among you. Then in verse 12, every one of you says, now what different divisions are manifested in verse 12? How many of them are there, and are they good divisions or bad divisions, and why? Any comments on it? Yes, Anna.
Well, there seems to be four different groups of people, okay. And only one of them is sensible.
Okay, name the four. Yeah. Name the sensible.
Go ahead, Anna. I am of Paul. I am Apollos. I am Cephas. I am Christ.
Okay.
And the sensible one is the last one.
The last one.
Yes.
Tammy.
So they're all following men.
Yes.
They're not following the Lord.
Go ahead. Anything else?
That's it, Dan.
We'll have to touch on this more next week, I
we'll
suppose.
Stop at this for
but
start at this verse 12.
But it's sometimes different denominations seem to listen to the word of men more than the word of God, and I'm not just talking about false, phony denominations. I'm talking about sound, like the historically sound denominations.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They become entwined with the words of men.
Yes.
Over the words of God.
Amen. And the other comments,
but
of course,
I will touch on that more next week.
Good. We'll listen for it closely. Any other comments or questions before we close? All right, if not, John, we close the word.
Yeah.